It was a great joy to have this opportunity. So thank you all. So I know that you've been working your way through a series on the covenant names and titles of God, which I'm sure has been a great blessing and encouragement to you all. The name and titles of God reveal who he is, so we can love him and praise him and call upon him more and more. Looking at the names and titles of God is like looking at a flawless diamond with no blemishes whatsoever. No matter which way you turn it or look at it, you see beauty. Every detail reflects light perfectly. In the same way, every title you look at in this series will reveal the beauty and clarity of who God is. In a previous sermon, Pastor Brent explained that in the covenant name of Jehovah, God is declaring that he is holy, independent, and eternal. Keeping that in mind, we will now look at tonight's title, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. Literally translated, the one who sees. This title is found in only one place in the Bible, and that's Genesis chapter 22. So if you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to be going through verses 1 through 14. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name and worship you on this Lord's day that you've set aside for us. As we open your holy and most excellent word, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know you more. Open our minds to understand the scriptures and show us your glory. We pray that you would grant us repentance and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So in our house every Friday night, it has become known as popcorn and a movie night. It started with a promise. One Friday afternoon, I promised our kids a special night where we would make popcorn and watch a family movie together. They loved it so much that it became a tradition in our home. We have four kids, 4 years old and under, and they look forward to this event every week. Everyone snuggles up on the couch with their blankets and bags of popcorn, excited and ready to watch the movie. But because they're all so young, they don't really know what day it is. So on Friday mornings, I'll say to them, "Guess what today is?" They all get quiet, pay close attention. There's a brief pause. Then I'll say, "It's popcorn and a movie night!" And everyone just starts jumping for joy. And as the day winds down, we ask the kids to clean up their toys and get ready for popcorn and a movie night. And how do you think they respond? They joyfully obey, because their little hearts and minds are set on popcorn and a movie night. And there is no doubt in their mind that it won't happen, because Daddy has made them a promise. Just like my kids trusted in my promise of popcorn and a movie night, Abraham trusted in the promise of his heavenly Father and had no doubt that it would come to pass. God made a covenant with Abraham, which included the wonderful promise of a son, even though he was old and Sarah's womb was barren. Throughout Abraham's life, God continued to show himself faithful to his word. Abraham grew in his faith by learning to set his heart and mind on the promises and character of God. Now we look to our passage this evening, we see Abraham passing a great test of faith, answering a great question, and experiencing God's great provision. Which leads us to our first point, passing great tests of faith. Look with me now to verses 1 through 6. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. He took his hand, the fire, and the knife. So they went both of them together. God is putting Abraham to a great test and telling him to go and offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. All throughout Scripture, we see God testing his people. We see the testing of Job, David, Jonah, Daniel, and Peter, to name a few. And we know that God is good and loves his people unconditionally. So why does God test his people? What is the purpose of a test? In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31, we learn that God left Hezekiah to himself to test him and to know all that was in his heart. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." God tests his people to reveal our hearts and our character, to humble us, all to the end that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of God and learn to trust him more. God also tests his people to reveal his heart and his character. While teaching my 4-year-old daughter to swim, I stood in the water calling her to jump and promising her that I'll catch her. And when she did, it revealed her trust in me, but it also revealed my faithfulness to her. God was testing Abraham's faith by commanding him to sacrifice Isaac. How did Abraham pass this great test from God? By faith. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. He considered the faithfulness of God and what he was able to do. Abraham believed that even if Isaac had to be offered, God would raise him from the dead, so that his promise to Abraham and to the world ultimately would be fulfilled. Abraham faced this great test and passed it because he knew that God would be faithful to his word. Just like my kids believed in their daddy's character and promises, Abraham believed in God's character and promises. So when you face the struggles and challenges of life, how do you respond? Like Abraham, do you consider our great and mighty God and what he is able to do? Do you believe he can do more than we can ask, think, or imagine? The promises to Abraham are for us too, and have all been fulfilled in Jesus. What the Old Testament looked forward to, we now look back on. We can look at the cross. We can look at the resurrection and know that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. How did Jesus endure the garden? Because he knew the character of his Father. What command is God calling you to that's coming in the form of a test? How can we be strengthened in the test? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So when you face the challenges of life, think of the challenges that Jesus faced for you. Let this grace be the foundation and motivation for all that you do. Pray. Feed on his word. Love and encourage one another as you are already doing. Let the means of grace nourish and strengthen you. Remember his promises like Abraham did. Consider his faithfulness to his word. He fulfilled those promises in Jesus. And if he's done that, then you can trust him for any trial or test that he brings your way. This leads us to our next point, answering a great question. Look with me to verses 7 and 8. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father! And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. I would argue that the theme of the entire Old Testament can be summarized in this very question. Where is the lamb? This question reveals a clear understanding of God's holiness and God's justice. This question acknowledges a personal conviction of sin and a need for a Savior. Question 12 of the Heidelberg Catechism asks this question. Since, according to God's righteous judgment, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, how can we escape this punishment and be again received into favor? Answer, God demands that his justice be satisfied. Therefore, we must make full payment either by ourselves or through another. Abraham understood this. Isaac understood this. do you understand this? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? The offering God commanded was specific and known as a burnt offering. The burnt offering was not just any offering. This was the offering for the forgiveness of sin. In the book of Leviticus, we can see God explaining the burnt offering and how it was accepted as an atonement for sin. Leviticus chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 reads, "He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord." If we look back to the beginning of Genesis and the story of Adam and Eve, we see that they deserve death for their sin and disobedience. Because of God's grace and mercy, they were spared. God provided the animal sacrifice to die on their behalf and provided them with the covering of the animal. Genesis 3:21 says, "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." What we find in the very beginning of Scripture is the covenant of grace and how the Lord provided a substitute for sin and the imputation of righteousness on their behalf. When Isaac asked the great question, "Where is the lamb?" Abraham answered this great question, "The Lord himself will provide a lamb." Adam and Eve understood God's provision of a substitute for their sin. Abraham understood God's provision. Over and over again, the Old Testament asked the question, "Where is the Lamb?" As the New Testament begins, we see John the Baptist preaching, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The message is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you personally understand your guilt before God? If so, then you will understand the good news Abraham provides and the answer to Isaac's question. Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." We need to be forgiven of our sin before a holy God. And there is nothing we can do in and of ourselves to be reconciled to God and to meet the covenant stipulations he requires of his people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul teaches us that, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the gospel, friends. We need mercy. We need grace. We need a substitute. Praise God, it has been provided in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This leads us to our third and final point, that we need to experience God's great provision of grace, which we see in this text. Look with me now to verses 9 through 14. "When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. So as God worked in the life of Abraham, Abraham experienced, acknowledged, and proclaimed God's character. We have much to learn about Abraham and God in this passage, but right now I'd like us to look at Isaac for a moment. Because God provided the sacrifice, Isaac was spared. We are Isaac, the one who received the substitute. However, our substitute was not a ram, but the very Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to the cross on the very mountain where God provided the ram for Abraham and Isaac, the only one worthy of a substitute did not receive one. He was not spared for us. Romans 8:32 tells us, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" God not only made provision for sin, but in Christ we are provided identity, meaning, purpose. He is our God, and we are his people. Because of God's provision in Christ, we can glorify God and enjoy him forever. I'd like to share a story with you of God's provision in my personal life. I was in the process of looking for a car to buy, and I had a $1,000 budget. I came across a 1999 Toyota Camry with 200,000 miles on it for $1,400, which was a fair price for the car. I told the seller I only had $1,000 and asked if they would consider the $1,000 for their car. They said they were from out of town, and the reason they were here in Florida was because their sister had just passed away and they were selling her belongings. I told them I was very sorry, and I asked if I could pray for them. They began weeping as I prayed. They then proceeded to pull out the bill of sale and asked me how much I would like to put on that bill of sale so I could save money on taxes. They said, "We could put $100 if you want." I said, "No, thank you. Please put the full amount, $1,000, on the bill of sale." They were shocked. They said they had never seen anybody do this in their life. I told them I wanted to honor God with my life and always do the right thing. I'm happy to pay the taxes. I know God will provide everything I need for my family and I. They ended up handing me back the envelope with $1,000 and said, "We think our sister would want you to have this car." And they gave me the car for free. This was a test, but it was also a demonstration of God's faithfulness, character, and provision in my life. This was a great provision from God. But this provision only points to the greatest provision of all, the provision of the Lamb. In the fullness of time, the promises to Abraham were fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Today, we can look back and say, on the mountain of the Lord, it has been provided. Friends, God wants us to know and understand his names and titles so that he would be our hope, our confidence, and our treasure. Do you personally know God as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides? Do you understand the provision of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ? Have you believed and received him by faith? This is good news and an invitation to trust God as your provider. If you're here this evening and you've been trusting in your own works to be made right with God, come to Christ. Rest in his finished work. for believers, brothers and sisters, this is a reminder that God has provided his Son to live and die on your behalf so that you might become the righteousness of God, be forgiven of your sin, and be reconciled to God through faith. In his act of obedience, Jesus obeyed the law of God perfectly on our behalf. In his passive obedience, Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us. Jesus rose from the dead, proving that he is the Lamb of God, God's one and only Son, who came into the world to save sinners. God himself is the provider of the covenant stipulation he requires of his people. This should lead us to love, praise, and call upon our great and mighty God more and more. Remember how my kids looked forward with certainty to popcorn and a movie night because their daddy made a promise? That's how Abraham lived his life. He knew God's character. He considered God. Romans 4:21 tells us he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Therefore, he lived his life standing on the promises of God. He was looking forward to the promise. That promise has now been fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And just as he has come the first time to make atonement for our sins, so he will come again one day and make all things new. So as you learn more about the character of God through this sermon series, I pray that you would develop a deep trust and a firm faith in him and live your life standing on the promises of the God who provides. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for sending your one and only Son, for your gracious provision, love, and care for your people. Help us to take the truths of scriptures and apply them to our lives so we might know you more and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen.